I know this is holiday weekend, a week, and good to see Aaron back this morning.
Amen.
He's been to California. That's on the other side of Mount Olive. In case y'all want to know. Yeah, we've been missing him, but he's had some work to do. We're glad to see him back with us this morning. You know, last week we were talking about Jesus when he was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and how that was like a philosophy of his that he had used throughout his ministry. And I thought I was done with that series, but the Lord wouldn't let me get away from it because I wasn't done, because he wanted me to emphasize the part that we ended up on last week. So if you'll go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, because I want to make sure that I'm obedient and do what he's asked me to do, because it's important that we get this. But Jesus had made a statement, and I'll read the scripture to you, and we're going to look at some more scriptures out of Matthew, so just hold your Bible there. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, Jesus had made a statement to them that up until this point, they thought that Jesus was one of them, meaning the Pharisaical Jewish type person that had segregated the world and said, we're the only ones that's going to make it. And Jesus had come, and they had called him a good teacher, a good rabbi, whatever. They didn't recognize him for who he was. But Jesus had an agenda, and that was, you remember I told you to bring the brand new part, the new covenant to the world, the heart of God to the world. Because God's a God that's got heart, and God feels what we are feeling today. But religion separates men from God and categorizes them, but God doesn't do that. So Jesus is in the temple, so we left off with this verse here where Jesus says, but I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. I thought we were done with that, and I thought I had shared everything I was supposed to, but the Lord had a lot more to say. And so Jesus was trying to help them understand. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, you just don't turn there, just reference it. You remember that's the scripture in 5:17 where Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law or take away from it. I came to fulfill it. I came to be the completion of it. That Genesis to Malachi was a beginning. It was a part. It was the law of the prophets. And when you break down the law of the prophets, it was their Old Testament, which holds what Genesis to Malachi holds. But Jesus says, I've come to fulfill that, or I've come to complete that. And they never quite got that. So he's standing there in their temple. We're going to talk about the temple today. In their temple, and he says that before you is something greater than the temple. Now that was unheard of. They could not understand. And at that point, their hearts and minds begin to change against Jesus. And it never changed until they hung him on a cross, because they really thought they were doing what was right. But in Matthew chapter 12, if you'll look down there, in chapter verse 1 of chapter 12, it begins with Jesus has got his disciples, and they're going through, they're on their journey, and they go through a field. Let me just read it to you. It's at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of the corn, and they started eating. And the second verse says that the Pharisees were there and they were watching them. And it's like they were waiting for them to do something wrong. I'm so glad I serve a God that didn't just hang over me with a ball bat and say, yeah, you make one mistake, buddy, and it's over. You know what? That's the way a lot of people feel. They want to say, you know, I got marks on my life. I got problems in my life. I've got bad history. I made some mistakes, bad decisions. And you're done with God. I want you to get the attitude that these guys had, because it's basically what they had, that we are great. You remember they were the same crowd that brought this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Remember that story? And they were all just laying all her business out on the street. And Jesus didn't say anything. They getting a little upset because he, you know, certainly should be judging her like they're judging her. And Jesus says, okay, you want me to say something? Here it is. Ye that's without sin, you go ahead and cast first stone. Can you hear the rocks dropping? Can you hear the rocks dropping? That's the same crowd, same attitude. She's got a problem. We don't let her in. She's not in our clique, in our club. Jesus came to break up the club mentality. Jesus came to break up the clique mentality. Jesus came to break that selfish rulership mentality by saying, for God so loved the world. Amen? And so they're in there, and they're the disciples, you know, they're human beings, and they start, you know, we got you now. We got you. Hey, got you. Found you. Got you. And they start mouthing off about the Sabbath. And Jesus basically turns to them and says, you don't even understand what the Sabbath is all about. Look on down to verse 27. This is some good reading if you... No, that's not the verse. But as you read in Matthew chapter 12 there, you see where Jesus is talking to them. And it says here, but when the Pharisees saw it, look at verse 2, they said unto him, behold, the disciples do that which is not lawful. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat of the showbread, which was not lawful to him to eat, neither for them which was for the priest. I love, and I don't got time to read all that, but you need to read that. So basically what Jesus says is that you don't understand what it's all about. God created the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see there? He created God. You think that God loves his law more than he loves people. That's the way they thought. Religion neglects people. I want you to get this. There's such an anointing on this word right here. Amen? There's such an anointing. He that hath an ear, let him hear. If you want to learn who Jesus really is, you need to listen to these words. Because religion neglects people. Religion puts the law over people. And I want to say this. And my heart dropped at this point when I was studying this and how God began to minister to me about this. Here's what he said. That many people are left out of the church because they have problems. Many people are left out of the church because they have problems. And the church was created, are you with me? Was created for people with problems. Many people have left the church because they had a divorce. Because they found out that their son or their uncle or somebody was gay. Or they found out they had issues and problems. And they couldn't go to church no more. Isn't that a shame? Are you with me this morning? Isn't that a sad fact? But this is the spirit that the Pharisaical spirit was being portrayed in the name of God. And God said, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let a law tell people who I am. I'm going to come down myself in the form of my son. And I'm going to live among them. And I'm going to teach them. And then I'm going to show them on the cross. I love what James said this morning about the reversal. Because that's what God did. He came to reverse all that stuff. God's not about that. God's not about all that law stuff. Oh, you're just saying you live anyway. That's not what I'm saying. Listen to me very clearly. When God gets in you and directs you, He'll tell you how to live, and you'll want to do that. But you don't do it because a man's sitting there pointing his finger at you. Amen? I want you to get this, because people have had divorces, and people have had problems, and people's had bankruptcies, and people's had gay members of their family, and people's going through a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff's happening in America today. And the sad thing about it is that people don't feel like they can go to church. And that's what God created for. You know, you can't marry like this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And the ones that tell you all this stuff you can't do, they're worse than you are. Y'all ready for me to quit or keep on?
Keep on.
Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Look, I thought I was done with this. So I'm just giving you what God told me to tell you. God never intended the law over people. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. The law, I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else, if you're taking notes, make sure you get this. The law dishonored people. Can you imagine how that lady felt caught in the very act of adultery? And somebody has tried to explain what Jesus was writing in the sand. You remember that when they were all accusing him, had rocks in their hands, they were getting ready to accuse him, and he started writing stuff in the sand. It's been debated. You know, when we get to heaven, oh, I just want to ask you. I just want to ask one question. But it's been said that he was writing their names in there. Because half of them had probably been with her herself. It's so easy to judge. It's so easy to point your finger at somebody else when your own backyard is messed up. And that's what law and religion do. Religion makes you feel like you're better than somebody because you go to church or you do this or you read your Bible 20 times a day or whatever. But God wanted you to know it's about relationships. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, He says, there's one standing right here that is greater than the temple. Now I want you to understand what that statement meant. I want you to understand these kind of people that I just described to you live their life for the temple. They didn't worship God, they worshiped the temple. Sort of like when you sit in somebody's seat. You know, you come in to go to visit a church and you sit in their seat and they stand there and stare at you till you move. You know, that's sort of, y'all know what I'm talking about? Maybe not that bad. But to them, you got to understand, to them, it was blasphemy. You're blaspheming against Moses. You see who they worship? They worship their past. They worship what was. They worship what used to be. And I want to say this very clearly. God is not a used to be God. He's a God of the now. Amen. He's alive now. I don't have to thank God for what He's done for me in the past. Thank God. And I should never forget and always give Him praise for what He's done for me in the past. But I can't live on yesterday. I got to have something new today. Do you remember when they were going through, man, the Bible is so awesome because everything goes together. Do you remember when they were in the desert and they were in the wilderness and they were trying to eat manna and they were trying to hover some manna, hold some manna over? You remember what happened to it? It spoiled. Why? Why was that? Because God wanted him to know, I'm a God that's big enough to supply for you every day fresh. If you messed up yesterday, that's okay. You got today, because God's going to make it fresh for you. If you need God to do something for you today, just because he done it yesterday doesn't mean he can't do it today. He's an on-time God. And to them, here's where we're getting into. This is where God stopped me at and said, you didn't really make it clear like I wanted you to. I want you to get a little deeper into it. He's to them. Well, there's an anointing up here. Y'all see me standing here real calm and cool, but I'm actually jumping up and down inside because this stuff's good. To them, there's no greater than the temple. I mean, I can see him as he's saying it. They're looking up. They're looking at one another. What? Has he been in the sun too long? I mean, has he lost his mind? We all know who he is because he's just Joseph. I mean, Joseph's, you know, his daddy. Just a carpenter's son. Can you believe that church people can be that lost? And they didn't know that it was God standing in the middle of it. Do you hear me? It was God standing in the middle of it. Your relationship is not with a piece of wood. Your relationship is with God. And you know what it was? It started a revolution. And I told y'all they hung him on the cross. That's pretty revolutionary. But they turned on him like a vicious animal that day. When he stood there and said that, because it not only was it a threat to the temple, and you don't say nothing about the temple. You don't go against the temple and Moses and all that. It was a threat to the nation. So God began to carry me back through some Bible history. I love studying with Josephus, and I love studying about Bible history. Remember, I told you early on that if everything was written that happened, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it all. But there are references in history. So in the first century in Jerusalem, the Jews, they would die to protect the temple. Now, the temple was about 37 acres in all around, and the citizens of Jerusalem had heard of a plot. Now, in history, Bible history, there was an emperor named Caligula. Caligula, say that real fast. Caligula. And he had made a reference that he created a statue. And he himself wanted to put that statue in the temple. Now, the point I'm going to make is how they visioned the temple. Now, this is Bible history. He was going to place that statue inside the walls of the temple. Now, they had heard about it. And there was a man by the name of Pentonus, who was the governor of Syria, he was assigned to take this statue to the temple. Pentonius. So if you're looking at, study that in history. But he was the governor of Syria, and he was assigned to take this statue to the temple. They made the statue. He wanted the statue in the temple area. The Jews heard about it. They became revolutionary. And when he got there, he met about thousands and thousands of Jews who went there and were going to fight him for it. What happened is, it's recorded, Josephus records this, that they pulled down the cloaks on their body, they kneeled to their knees, and they said, we are willing to die for you not to desecrate the temple. Can you imagine that people are that far off? We will not let you desecrate the temple. So he went to Tiberias, and there were larger crowds there. And here's what Josephus, I wrote it down, so I wouldn't forget it. It comes out of the Antiquities of the Jews. Josephus wrote this down. He was a first century historian. He says, so they threw themselves down upon their faces and stretched out their throats and said, they were ready to be slain. And they did this for 40 days. Can you imagine that? There's thousands of them. They're on their knees. They pulled their garments down and they stuck their necks out. And they say, you cut my neck. You cut my throat. We are willing for you to do that so that you won't desecrate the temple. Farmers went on strike. Economy got in trouble. And Petros, who was the one who was taking the statue, he didn't know what to do, so he writes a letter back to the emperor for advice. Now, little did he know that the emperor, this would cost him his job and maybe cost him his life. But let me tell you how God averted all this. The Roman senators conspired against Petronius, inspired against him, and guess what they did? They assassinated Caligula, and it never happened. I gave you all that history to tell you this. They were willing to give their life for something that God had not asked them to do. Do you see that? God doesn't have to have us defend him. He defends us. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, he said, the greater one is in the temple. Now you got to understand, again, let me reemphasize, to them there was none no greater than the temple. If your relationship with God is based only on a building, or only on a denomination, or only on a group of people, then you're lost. I just gave you a history story of how people were willing to give their life for something that God did not require them to do. Amen. Do you hear me this morning? If you're getting this, say amen. Amen. You got to understand that the temple now was the second temple, Herod's temple, because the first temple had been destroyed. Do you remember that? That was Solomon's temple in 586 BC. The Jews were thrown out of the city. And Babylon took treasures from that city. And they took people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were a part of that. And years later, people were allowed to go back. They said, you can go back and rebuild your temple. But don't build it as big as the first one was. But you can rebuild it. So years later, they were allowed to go back, and people went before. And do you remember the story in the Bible? I'm kind of covering a lot of stuff, but I want you to get this. Do you remember that when they got in there and they saw the temple versus Solomon's temple, that people wept? You remember that story? They just cried. 20 years before Jesus was born, Herod wants to rebuild the temple to their former glory. That's what he says he's going to do. So he rebuilt the temple. We're headed somewhere. Can you give me a few more minutes? Amen. I appreciate all five of y'all that's going to be here when I get done. So they rebuilt the temple. And let me tell you how the temple was. The walls were like 100 feet high. The temple itself was 60 feet high. It was made out of cut stone. Massive stones. The stones were 11 by 14 and they were about 44 feet long. And get this. I love history. I love to read and study. I love to learn stuff. Don't y'all? I know I don't look like that, but I do love to learn stuff. But the stones weighed over 5,000 tons. Herod built this temple so that it would be earthquake proof, because in that region there were a lot of earthquakes. So Jesus stands in the temple, and I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 13. And I want you to read something with me. So one day they're in the temple. Jesus and a couple of his guys were in the temple, and they're walking around. And Jesus sees that they're just captivated with the massiveness of this temple. New International Version says, massive stones and magnificent temple. So Jesus in the temple in Mark chapter 13, look at verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Master, do you see what manner of stones and the buildings that are here? As I said, New International says, massive stones and magnificent. And Jesus said this to them. Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that it shall not be thrown down. Jesus, say that again. Now you got to understand, these massive stones are there. They're one on the... Jesus said, you see this building? Not one stone is going to be left upon another. It says that they're going to be thrown down. I'm going to stop right here because I want you to get the rest of this. Now you got to get back with me next week saying finish, because you got to hear the end of this story. You got to hear the end of this story, because if you don't believe in Jesus, when you hear the end of this story, you're going to believe him. Because they're saying he's just a carpenter's son. He don't know anything. He's a blasphemer. He's coming against Moses. He don't know what he's talking about. You're getting ready to see that Jesus knows exactly what he's talking about. He's telling these guys. Now next week when we get together, we're going to move over to the Mount of Olives. And we're going to sit there and rest a while, because that's what Jesus was doing. And Jesus is going to explain why he just said about that these stones are not going to be upon one another. And they tell me, I've never been to Holy Lands or anything like that, but they tell me you can go to the south side of this and there's still some of them stones laying down in the valley. He knows what he's talking about. He is what he says he is. And he's telling us today, this world's coming to an end. And this world's coming to an end. And I want to close with this. Don't be distracted to the left nor to the right. Keep your eyes on him. Don't allow nobody to take away what God's got for you. Don't allow no voice, no person, no thing, no job, no nothing to separate you from God. Because his word is true. People will let you down. People will leave you hanging. One of his disciples sold him out for a few pieces of silver. But he was still who he said he was. God is real. I know we live in a world today that, you know, he's not on my app, so he can't be real, right? But he's real. He's real. Stand to your feet now. He's real. He's real. And I'm like a racehorse. I want to go ahead and finish this, but I'm not going to finish it because I don't want to rush through it. I made that mistake last week and got whipped for it, so I'm back here still talking about it. Amen? Not going to be whipped anymore about that. I'm going to finish this thing. But next week we're going to be on the Mount of Olives, and we'll hear just what Jesus meant when he said that. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for everything that you are. Thank you for your holy presence. Thank you, Lord, that you're an awesome God and that you're here. And that what we need more than anything else is you. Lord, we can't quote all the Bible like some people can. We struggle in other areas like some people do. We make mistakes and we fall on our face, and God, we're just so disappointing to ourselves, and I know to you sometimes. But one thing you've assured us is that you don't give up on us. Father, we're in a world today that people need you, but they don't feel like they can come to church. God, help Northview to be that church that they know they can come to. Help them know, God, that they won't be judged when they come in the door, because in the walls of this place are imperfect people. Imperfect people in need of a Savior every day. In need of your grace every day. In need of your mercy every day. Thank you, God, for being a God that shows us your word. Lord, I have read and studied this book for a long time, and I'm learning more every day. I'm learning that I don't know anything, that I'm learning that there's more to learn in your word. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are and who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, if there be one here, his heads are bowed and no one looking around, if there be one here this morning that says, you know, I've been discouraged and I've been down and I've kind of drifted in my heart. You know, we talk about that we drift from God, but we don't really drift, because he's always there with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But you say, I just need prayer. I don't want anybody to know. I don't want to make a big scene, but I just want you to know that I need to be in your prayers, and that I want to be everything God wants me to be. And I want to ask, preacher, if you'll just help me pray that God will heal my broken heart. God will heal my disappointment. And God will help me with the strength I need to be what I need. If you're here today like that, would you just lift your hand? Nobody's looking around. Nobody even know it. Thank God for that hand. Thank God for those hands. Thank God for hands going all around. All around. Thank God. Now I want you to take the hand of the one beside of you right now. We're going to make right where you are an altar. You don't have to come right up here. You can stay where you are, and God's there too. Father, you've seen the hands that have come up today. You've seen the hands that have been raised. And Father, I pray right now that they will ask you, Lord, to give them the strength they need. Lord, that they will not allow things to come in between you and them. And that if they have, God, we ask for forgiveness. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our shortcomings, forgive us of our failures, forgive us of our bad habits, and help us, God, to be what we need to be. God saw your hand, and those of you that lift your hand, God saw your hand. And I want you to know he's sending angels, dispatching angels right now to your side to help you each step of the way. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to do anything alone. God's going to make a way for you. He'll give you strength. He'll send what you need. He'll do what you need, because he loves you that much. He's committed to you. He's not in love with a building. He's in love with you. And he wants you to know that this morning. God loves you above everything else. He loves you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.